The reading for this evening is from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much for coming out on a night like this. I really appreciate it. And you are an absolutely lovely group of people. I was just sat there and my thoughts were, can I run out the door? This is not something I've done. I think it's the third time I've ever spoken in a church, first time here. So please bear with me. This morning, when Tim was speaking, I was there in my seat and I just kind of sunk down. I thought, how can you speak so eloquently? How can you know the scriptures so well? How can you speak without notes? And how can you speak for such a time? Firstly, let me reassure you, I won't be speaking for that long. And I will be speaking from my notes. And I just pray, above all, that through the words I'm going to speak, there may be something that God has put on my heart for us, whether it be for us individuals or church, that may take us forward. So thank you for that opportunity. So ever since I was asked by John Barnard, thank you, John, a few months ago to talk tonight, I remember that time I thought, yeah, it's easy, 3 months to go. And I think I started it when we were on holiday in Antigua last week and finished it on Friday night. I kept coming back, my thoughts kept coming back to a topic of perseverance through difficult times in our Christian lives. And I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but already there's been a few mentions of that. So I believe God has really asked me to talk and have some thoughts on that, and hopefully that will resonate with you. Just to start, within the Western world, there are a few, and they're mainly over the other side of the ocean, that think that once someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, their problems will be over. Life will be easier. That's it. No problems at all. And sometimes in a limited way, that can be true. For instance, sometimes when someone comes to conversion, comes to faith in Jesus, they become free from addiction. And that is fantastic. But that doesn't mean that person's problems are over. So today, if you bear with me, I'm going to proceed on the basis that becoming a Christian does not, in most cases, lead to an end of difficulties. And there will be problems coming our way. Very often, those are the same problems that we dealt with even before we became Christians. Wasn't it great this morning to hear that testimony? I was just blown away with it. I thought that was fantastic to hear, through such a difficult time, someone whose faith probably got better and was able to also share with a member of her family. Isn't that just wonderful? What we do have, the big thing, is that as we go through problems, we've got a powerful resource in God to deal with those problems, situations and difficulties. And indeed, actually, rather than becoming easier, sometimes our Christian life brings hardship and problems. Maybe we don't know that when we sign up, but that is the case in some ways. In Acts 14, verse 22, the new disciples who had just come to faith were told, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. As Christians, however, because what Christ has done for us, we can seek to have a life full of hope, one of joy, one of peace, one of love, richness and fulfillment, despite these challenges. With God's aid, we can overcome these difficulties in our lives. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And Romans 8, verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Isn't that great? However, that doesn't mean our Christian life is always easy. John 16, verse 33 says, in this world you will all have trouble, but, and that's the big thing, take heart, I have overcome the world. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, we read, blessed are you when people insult you and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. And again, John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So in all these things, Christ is with us. That's the great reassurance. In many ways, it makes grim reading that of the original 12 disciples, 10 of them are believed to have died as martyrs. Paul was flogged. We've read part of his passage here. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was attacked by robbers. He was imprisoned. And finally, he was believed to have been executed as a martyr. On one level, that's not a great advert for being a Christian, is it? However, and despite this, we see in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 9, Paul wrote, we are hard pressed on every side, and again, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. These are real words of encouragement to us. Today, in many parts of the world, we see and hear about severe persecution against Christians, particularly in communist and in Muslim countries. And yet, despite this, we see and hear that the church continues to not only survive, but to grow and to thrive. But here in the UK, at the moment, and in the main, we are immune from persecution. Who knows? This may change. But for now, we are free to share our faith without fear. But this doesn't mean, does it, that life is always simple. There are different trials and challenges that we face in our day-to-day life. I'd imagine that none of us here in this room would be without problems, stresses and strains, and for want of a better word, issues that challenge our daily lives. I'm going to be honest with you now and say that over the last 6 months, I've struggled with various challenges and problems, both in my home life and in my work life. Being a Christian in such circumstances has, on several occasions, been fantastic. And it's been great. I've seen real answered prayer and God working in amazing ways. But at times, it's been a grind and tough going. Understanding that we are not promised life without problems is of help. But understanding that there are problems where there are problems, we're called to persist and not give up is also a great help. In many ways, it puts everything into perspective. It's also the case I've found, and when you speak to people, you see that where we persevere, we develop as Christians and as people. We live in a world today where the idea of persistence is alien to our nature. Almost everything we want is instant. Communication by phone, by email, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook. It's immediate. It's there within seconds. We don't wait. There's no waiting for a letter or a telegram. Do you remember the telegrams? Yeah. We become used to getting what we want quickly. No more is it a case of saving up for the item of furniture or the new car we want. Easy credit terms are available to us so that we can walk away with that car next day, or the furniture is delivered within a day very often. The whole concept of waiting and hanging in there till we can afford something has gone for many of us. And I would say that in some ways this translates into the way we do or don't deal with problems in our lives, into circumstances that stretch us. We quite simply don't like waiting for things to happen, or indeed for circumstances to change. If our job is no longer great, we can change. The market's good. And we've lost the ability to just keep persisting. I suspect that goes also for our Christian lives. We want to see the church grow, but it's got to be in the next week or so. We want to see the prayer answered and quickly, and are not happy to persist in our prayer life. How many times have I prayed for something, and if it doesn't happen within a few days, I stop praying for it? Too often. So I just wanted to share a few thoughts on why and how we're called to persistence or perseverance through such circumstances, drawn from this passage in 2 Timothy. I thought before I did this, I'd just look at the definition of persistence. One is to take a stand, to stand firm, to go on resolutely or stubbornly in spite of opposition, importunity or warning. And perseverance, the definition of that is to persist in a state, enterprise or undertaking in spite of counter-influences, opposition and discouragement. Calvin Coolidge said, "Nothing can take the place of persistence. There's no easy pill. Persistence involves a really positive determination to keep going, even though life may be tough. We can't quite see where it's going." In many ways, the definitions are self-help statements denying that the whole presence of God and the necessity, there is a necessity to do that. The great thing is that as we persist, God is alongside us. We have his support, his guidance, his encouragement, and his protection. And that persistence is not down solely to our efforts. In verse 1 of this passage, we see Timothy encourages us to be strong, not in our own strength, but in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. So why and how do we persevere? I'd say firstly, so that we can be witnesses to others of the love of God and his salvation. We've seen in verse 2, it says, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." In our lives, we're called to share with others what Christ has done and continues to do so. And we've talked about Alpha, a great way to do that, even through difficult circumstances. If when problems come along, we either give up or deny the presence of Christ in our lives, we'll fail in our witness to those around us. As stated earlier, as Christians, we're not promised an easy life, a problem-free life, but it's how we deal with those problems and how we acknowledge Christ that can make the difference. By persisting through difficult times and being able to witness to God working through those circumstances, we're able to share with others the day-to-day relationship that Christ offers to us. But by its very definition, a relationship is something that takes time to develop and grow, and is not something that comes as a quick fix. The second reason we need to persevere is we've seen that we will go through problems, that we just need to go through it. Verses 3 to 6, we've had these great examples of examples of perseverance. Really practical. Firstly, we've got the example of a soldier. The soldier is very focused on his military life and taking orders from his commanding officer. It's a life that requires absolute obedience. If they stray, then things can go wrong. You've got to just take those orders. And similarly, I'd say we are called to have a life of service and obedience to Jesus Christ, which requires us on many occasions to put others first before us. Is that something we are prepared to do in our daily lives? The second picture is that of an athlete in verse 5. An athlete works to a strict training and lifestyle schedule. Many hours of hard and grueling training are required, coupled with a disciplined diet. This involves, in many cases, self-denial and perseverance through hard times. It's only after these efforts that may take many years that the full benefit is seen. And I think that's one of the things of perseverance. It doesn't happen quickly. And sometimes you seem to be going backwards. If I can just share one example, not within the Christian aspect, but 20 years ago, my eldest son, Tim, joined his local rugby club, and along with a load of his mates from his school. They turned up, none of them played rugby, and every week they trained, and there was a fantastic group of coaches who just put their time into both training them. The first year or two, I think they lost every game, and we went along, watched them, thought, oh, crikey, this is going nowhere. But these lads and these coaches just kept going, and I think by the fourth or fifth year, there was only one team that ever beat them. They were a real unit. They had come through it, and they had grown. Not only were they better rugby players, but they were better people. And certainly Tim, even now, has got friendships that have grown from those times. So hard at the beginning, but they came through it. And even on a more personal thing, one of my aims this year is, once again, to lose weight and improve my fitness. You may say no. One of my aims is to lose weight and gain fitness. I've tried before and I'm trying again. It's not easy. There's no simple pill. If anyone's got that simple pill that doesn't harm you, please let me have it. And no easy fitness regime. It will require control on the amount I eat and drink and a serious increase in my physical activity. I've just started weekly sessions with a personal trainer, and my last one, or the third one I've done, was on Friday. And I'm still aching now. It's horrible. And tomorrow morning at 8:15, I'm going to do it again and pay him some money. But ultimately, I know it will benefit me. I keep chanting that. It will benefit me. But I need to do it, and it's going to be hard, and then hopefully it will benefit. It will take a long time before I make progress. Without a determination to persist, there will be no change. And sometimes that's the same for our Christian lives. We have to show real discipline. Things do not change or happen quickly. It's only by having a vision of what God is doing, coupled with persistence, that we'll see a change or progress towards an answer to the problem that there may be. And then the third picture we have is of the hardworking farmer. Here within Welton, we've got a number who are involved in farming. And what is absolutely clear, it's a hard-working job. It's very often a life that requires round-the-clock commitment. There's no kind of 9-to-5. It is when it has to be. If they are committed, however, and persevere, there's often a good harvest. In the same way, we cannot always control the demands that are thrown from us, whether that be with our parenting, with our working life, with our health. We've looked at that. We don't know what's going to happen or how we're going to deal with that. Or even, dare I say, with our service and our church life. There may be issues with our church life that we're asked to do that may not be top of our agenda. But are we prepared to take things on? Are we prepared to give it a go? Are we prepared to push that door, even if it doesn't always suit us? So we've seen three great examples of persistence. The soldier, who persists with the final victory in mind. The athlete, who persists because of the vision of the winner's trophy. And the farmer, who persists because of the hope of a good harvest. For the Christian, we are called to persist because of our anticipation of meeting with Christ. And those very simple words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your eternal rest. And thirdly, we're called to persevere in memory of what Christ has done for us. Verses 8 to 10, Paul writes here, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. And then we come to that word, big word again, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a picture. Christ and his life on earth is the heart of the gospel, and we're encouraged to remember and follow this. And finally, we're called to perseverance because of a future promise. The promise set out in verses 11 to 13. I'll just read those again. They are fantastic. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot disown himself. There's a real passion here of the promise from God that if we die with Christ, we live with him. If we endure difficulty here on earth, ultimately we will reign with him. And even where we are faithless, that last verse, it's amazing. Christ will remain faithful to us. What a promise. Where we falter, he will carry us. It's that last bit that really encourages me in some ways. I've talked about the Christian life not necessarily being an easy one. It's one where we may suffer hardship, and certainly is not one that's without problems. But throughout this, we are called to persevere, remaining faithful to God and doing his work. However, those three examples, even the soldier gets weary and needs time away from the front line. The athlete needs rest and time out for his body to recover. And the farmer does need time off again to recover. So we may all go through times when we're like this, where we struggle with the problems we've come across, or simply need time away to be refreshed. Is that where you are? There's nothing wrong with that, and it's at that time, particularly, that God carries us most, and also through the fellowship that we have with each other, we can support each other most. So what can we learn from this study? Fairly simply, that life may not always be straightforward and easy. I think once we realise that, we're on a better standing. Secondly, that we are called to persist in our Christian lives and service. But that we have a great God who is alongside us and who will never leave us, and at our weakest times will be our greatest support. Have you, like me, struggled recently to keep going? I'd say, if so, be encouraged. Have you pulled away from things that God has called you to do? And if so, can you, with his help, go back to the battleground? And have you stopped praying for God's answered prayer when he calls you to persist in that prayer? When I was preparing for this, God reminded me of a desire that was laid on my heart 10-15 years ago, to pray for a number of friends and family who had gone away from God. Fortunately, both my boys are no longer following God at the moment, and we've got many friends who just are not in fellowship with God, and that really saddens me. But God said, keep praying for them and persist in that prayer. But if I'm honest with you, I've not kept that up. I didn't see an immediate response. I've stopped praying. But in preparing this, I've determined to once again pick this up for prayer. It may take 27 years for that to happen, but I think God is saying, keep doing it, keep looking to me. And I say to you, is there something that you've stopped praying for? Is there something that God has laid on your heart to pray for? Some person that you thought, well, I've prayed for a week, I've prayed for a month, but I've stopped now. If so, perhaps this is the time to pick that up again and keep praying for them. And God in his own time will answer that. We live in a world today where everything or most things have to be instant. Many of us are not prepared to wait or keep working for something. But God asks us to persist, to petition him and not give up. We're not promised an immediate answer, but we are promised that throughout everything, God will be with us. Again, going back to verses 12 and 13 and in conclusion, we're reminded that if we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Praise God.